This is Keep It Juicy, episode 75. Hello, and welcome to Keep It Juicy, a weekly podcast that features experts on living a juicy life. What's a juicy life? It's a lifestyle for those who have put in a few miles and are ready to turn off-road, who are still learning and excited, who are fearless, or who are scared but dare anyway. Juicies are grown-ups, so some of our language may not be appropriate for children. Juicies are bold, passionate, and ready to squeeze every drop of juice out of life. I'm your host, Helen Mitternight. Are you ready? Let's keep it juicy. Hi, it's Helen Mitternight. Today, I'm bringing back Juicy, Chef Emily Lucchetti, and new guest, writer Erin McHugh. The two have paired up to create a book of inspirational quotes from lots of people you'll recognize. The topic? Kick-ass aging. I talk with Emily Lucchetti and Erin McHugh today on Keep It Juicy. Well, welcome to Keep It Juicy. Today we have a bonus. We have two guests. We have Emily Lucchetti, who was with us before, talking about her wonderful, big, juicy life as a chef. And today we also have Erin McHugh, who's new to Keep It Juicy. And the reason we have both of them is because they've just collaborated on a really nifty book called So Who's Counting? So we're going to be talking about some of the stuff they've learned about that. So both of you, welcome to Keep It Juicy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Helen.
So first of all, I met Emily before, but how did the two of you meet? Erin, can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Sure. I'd heard about Emily for a long time. I live in South Dartmouth, and Emmy comes here for the summers. And we had a mutual friend who would always say, oh, you know, I had dinner with Emily last night. And for years, I would say, you know, I don't know her. And she would say, yes, you do. And said this, be this back and forth. So it came to a point where our friend said, Emmy is interested in writing small books that aren't cookbooks, but might be cooking related, and Erin, you write small format books. Maybe you two should get together and start talking. And Emily can tell you what happened next.
Well, then, yeah, we got together for breakfast, and it was one of those things that as soon as we got together, we were just chatting away like we'd known each other forever, and we were talking about writing and synonyms and wordsmithery and all, and just about books in general, about cookbooks and all the quote books and other books that Erin has written in her years and years as a creative editor for companies, and just her and doing very how our lives had kind of just always been around books, but different kinds of books. And then also we had turned, I had just turned 60 and Erin had just turned 65. So I don't know, we got on the subject of aging as most people do when they turn into these ages and they turn these ages. And we just said to ourselves, you know, why aren't there any fun, good books about out there about getting age, about getting older? Because when everyone talks about getting older, it's always about the glass half full. It's about saggy parts. It's about lost brain cells. It's like, and here, Erin and I felt like at the top of our prime. We wanted to kind of change up what we were doing, but we felt like we had so much to give both to ourselves and to the world that we're like, hey, let's just, we have to turn this around.
Right. And Emily, how did you face aging? You said you felt like you were still in your prime. You had a big birthday, big decade changer birthday. Any hesitations, any fears?
Well, you know, being in the restaurant business, it's very interesting because you're always the oldest one. So everyone that's around you is in their 20s or the 30s. Plus, I don't have any kids, so I didn't have that mile marker of how old I was. So when I got to 60, I'm like, I'm 60? It felt more surreal than anything. And Kim Severinsen, the New York Times reporter, called me up and we were chatting about an article that she was writing about Thomas Keller's legacy. And it was an article in the Times in print. And I opened it up and looked at it and it said, Emily Lucchetti, 60, says blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my God, 60, that six and that zero. It was like a true wake up call. So I've always not, I mean, I know intellectually I'm there, but just mentally, I just really feel that you're as old as you kind of feel, which to me is like 24. So I just.
And in the culinary world, do they revere age, or do they say it's time for the next hot chef?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I think that there are a lot of hot young chefs out there just because they're the ones that can physically stand up in the kitchen and do it for all those years. But at the same time, there are a lot of roles for that other people can play. So I think as in anything in society, you can get pushed aside, but at the same time, you're like as good as your last dish, so you can still play a very vibrant role as long as you're participating and you're contributing.
And Erin, you got to be the guidepost because you got 5 years on Emily, so you got to be there ahead, right?
And you know what? I'll always have 5 years on Emily.
So what about you? What did it feel like? I mean, it's any worries? By the way, guys, 60 and 65 are not old. Let me just say that right there. But
boy, do we ever know it. Yeah, you know, we both celebrated in different ways. When Emmy and I met, she had just turned 60 a few weeks before, and she should tell you about the big party she threw for herself. And I had, like, we're just different people. And I had 65 people in my backyard and a spinning disco ball in my kitchen and just sort of a dance party. It was more like a fraternity party than anything else. I had realized at that point that, now I didn't have to. I had been a bookseller because I'm a writer and I needed insurance and things like that and paid vacation. I thought, you know what? Now I don't have to do this anymore. So shortly after that, by the time I was 66, which I am now, I was able to quit that job. And I left New York after 41 years and moved back to my hometown where I am writing and have a job as a book buyer. So it's another job in publishing, which I've been in, you know, more than 40 years and is something I'm passionate about and I adore. So really is just what you would hope for. It's just another new beginning.
Well, and Erin, that brings me to my next question. You know, you're doing this thing and it's a new beginning. Everybody says, okay, you're aging. Oh, the wrinkles, the sagging, the aches, the pains. But there's some really great stuff that comes with it. Can you talk about that?
Oh my gosh, you're not kidding. I mean, again, as you said, it's all new. And Emmy and I, when we were working together, on the book, which was, you know, bi-coastal. So we would have a long phone call once a week for a long time talking about the quotes that we had come up with during the week and who said the quotes. And then we'd go into this black hole of, oh, you know, Muhammad Ali. I'd sort of forgotten he was a conscientious objector. And then we'd get on Google together, you know, Wikipedia while we were on the phone and going down those black holes. But, you know, you find out that as we're doing it, and we realized how many people were reinventing themselves as they got older, it buoyed you. And we decided it was just, we don't like the way that society, the sort of pigeonhole society puts you in. So we said, let's try, as we're doing this project, not to ever say senior, unless we're talking about the senior discount at the movies, or retire. And I got to tell you, Helen, it was really hard. So, and people all the time will say to me, because I moved back to my hometown, oh, hey, you're here and you're retired. Isn't that great? And I always say, much to their annoyance a lot of times, I'm not retired. I'm just moved and I'm doing something else.
Which is great. And I guess for the listeners, I should tell you the rest of it, because I said the book's called Who's Counting, but that doesn't tell you a whole lot. The rest of the title is The Little Quote Book About Growing Older and Still Kicking Ass, which is great. So it's a little collection of quotes about growing older that you can use as a meditation, inspiration, whatever you want. So Emily, while you were working on the book, what have you learned about aging from working on the book?
I think what was one of the things that was really interesting about it was looking at the people that do look at it positively, because I think they kind of get swept under, they get swept under the rug and they get kind of negated by all the naysayers and everything that are out there. And what I think really hit me too is when we would talk to people about quotes, it would spark a whole conversation. And so, I'd be flipping through the manuscript and I would see a quote and I would just reflect on it for a while myself. I mean, I loved opening up some part of the manuscript or the book and just saying, oh, that's interesting. What does that mean today? And then also, just sharing them with others. We've noticed that when you sit down and talk with someone and you just share a singular quote, you can get into this 20-minute conversation all about what it's like to get older. And it's people are really open about sharing and they want to share. And so that's what I find was really encouraging.
That's very true. And it was, I don't know about you, Emmy, but I don't know that it was something I expected you, because people seem to be so sort of undone by growing older, that I think it's been a real pleasure to see people's reactions. And then we go out in the road, Helen, and we talk about, at a book event, how Emmy and I met and why we started talking about aging, like we're talking to you now. And you can see out at the audience, they are all sort of gladdened by hearing that and relieved by hearing that there's like a whole third act in front of them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you all what people's reactions are to the book, and is there a particular audience? Obviously, as a woman myself who is getting older, I loved it, but I mean, I'm wondering, is it mostly women? Is it mostly men? Is it both? Is it like, what are the reactions you're getting?
I think that it's actually both. I think it's women warm up to the conversation, and you could be in the grocery store line and women will start talking about it because they're just much more open, and they're much more freer with their feelings. But we've also talked to a lot of men that felt the same thing, and even stronger and even more of a kind of a release and a joy from the book, just because it isn't something that men talk about much to each other or sometimes even to their wives. So this is like a positive, almost safe, light way to kind of bring up the subject. It's, as Aaron and I say, no one's ever saying you're not going to die and you're going to live forever. But it's like, how do you do it in a way that you're doing it to the most positive way you can, whatever brings you joy every single day, not in a bucket list kind of way, but how do you want to spend your time in maximizing it? And I think it's like this little book that just is starting to make people think in a really big way. And it's opening up a lot of conversations, both male and female.
Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, I came up with our own quote, which you probably saw in the back of the book, Helen, which is, older is getting younger all the time.
Boy, that's for sure. And I can see why men would also like it. One of the guests that I had on in a previous episode is a woman named Cindy Gallup, and she is the woman that AARP brought in to help fight ageism in advertising. And she was talking about how this is what age is depicted on in ads. It's either a source of humor or it's the couple walking on the beach with the golden retriever, usually a white couple, because that's just what the ads do.
Right.
And for men, it's all about, getting it up or not being able to get it up, or, using medicine to achieve it. And it's like, or having gray hair. I mean, it's just as bad for men in the public world. So I can see why men would also like your book too.
Mm-hmm. Well, but one of the things that sparked it when Emmy and I started talking about our ages, and mostly in a celebratory way, she was telling me about her party, and then I said, well, I'm going to have a party. And she offered to make me 6 cakes, which I hardly knew her. So I was overjoyed. Is that I had been working at Barnes & Noble for a long time. And people came in, Helen, all the time, saying, I've got to go to a party tonight for my friend Helen, and she's turning 65, and she's got everything. Where's the book section with all the funny books on that? And, you know, there is no section. And as Emmy said before, the stuff that is out there is really, really offensive. It is, you know, as we said, about sagging body parts and you can't hear and I can't see the menu. And it's really disturbing. So we wanted to change that.
Okay, so Emily, Aaron twice now has made reference to your wonderful party. So I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to take a second and tell us about it.
Well, I actually, for my birthday, I'm one of those people that really usually doesn't do much. And since I'm in the restaurant world, for me, a treat on my birthday is to eat in my pajamas, pasta with red sauce in front of the TV with my slippers on. So it's not one to usually go out. But when I turned 60, it was like, you know, I have to do something different. So what I did was I had a lunch in San Francisco cooked by Jonathan Waxman, a male chef who's a friend, because I couldn't have a female chef cook it. And I invited like 70 women from around the country that were chefs or front of the house restaurant people or had written cookbooks or things like that, just people in the food world. And it was just so much fun. And it was almost like I used my birthday as an excuse, because it's one of those things where you're always really busy and you see someone, you see a colleague on a trip and you, or when you're in a certain city and you go, oh, we should really get together sometime, but you never do. And so when I turned 60, it was like, okay, this is the time for to get together with all these people all at once. And just the energy in that room and the power in that room was just so incredible. And I think that because it was like my 60th birthday, people were like, oh, we have to go. It wasn't just like a normal Sunday lunch. It was like, we have to go because this, we can't miss it. This is a once in a lifetime, you know, experience. So it was just epic. And of course I said, I don't even care if I have dessert. I don't care if I have a cake. And they all said, no, that's not going to happen. So Annie Quattrano is a chef in Atlanta, owns Bacchanalia. She arranged what they call a cakewalk. So we had like 25 cakes. And we get to the end and everybody had been like eating and drinking. It was all family style. And I blew out all the candles on all these cakes all around the table. And someone goes, well, how are we going to cut them and serve them? Because there's so many cakes and there's like two people for each cake. And I said, you know, everybody's going to get a fork and we're going to go around the table and we're just going to eat out of each of the cakes. So.
Okay. That sounds amazing.
Right.
Needless to say, I don't want to have another party because it wouldn't be as good.
I know you couldn't really top that. Okay. So back to the book, I got to ask. So what is your personal favorite quote from the book, Aaron, and then maybe Emily?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You don't know how many times, every single time we talked on the phone, Emily and I would say, you know, today my favorite quote is, I think it depends whether the sun is shining or what time of year it is and what kind of day you've had or what's on your mind, what's your mood. We change our mind all the time. We have a couple of favorites that we see, sort of always seem to go back to.
What's your favorite today?
I think today my favorite might be that I, you know, there was one by a man named Robert Brault, who was actually an operatic tenor. And he said, the older you get, the fewer things it seems too late to do. You know, and that's something that I sort of want to, Emmy and I talk a lot about waking up in the morning and saying, you know, one of the first things each of us would say would be to ourselves would be, what's next? And what fun thing are we going to do today? You just don't ever want to think that there's a stop sign in front of you.
Oh, I love that.
And it
that.
Can be as little as, you know, trying a new coffee shop. It doesn't have to be something that's, you know, jump out of an airplane or something like that. You know, it's just keeping it new and keeping it fresh. So I would say mine today is a Gloria Steinem quote. And she says, at my age, in this still hierarchical time, people often ask me if I'm passing the torch. I explain that I'm keeping my torch, thank you very much, and I'm using it to light the torches of others. Because I think that shows that, you know, you recognize kind of where you are and your place in the world, and you have, but you still have a lot to offer, and you want to make sure that those behind you are going to be doing what they should be doing.
I love that. Well, I have one that I loved, and I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to ask you about it. Mm-hmm. It's Georgia O'Keeffe, and she says, I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life, and I've never let it keep me from doing a single thing I wanted to do. So I guess I want to ask each of you, have you lived life terrified or not?
I have. And I love when I saw that, what I loved about that quote is what an eye opener it is. You know, you would never, you tend to put people who are famous for doing something, really ground shattering, that they have always just woken up in the morning and been 100% sure of themselves. So such a relief to hear that. It certainly pushes you forward. I sometimes tend to think I do life behind my own back, that things get done sort of in spite of myself. So that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. What about you, Emily?
I think, you know, there's that very fine, very, very fine needle, you know, thread-like fine line between terror as a motivator and terror as something that holds you back. And some days the same amount of terror can be one or the other. So I think through my life, I've definitely, you know, had them both. I remember when I first started cooking at Star's Restaurant and Jeremiah Tower, I was on cold salad. This was before I even switched to pastry. And Jeremiah Tower stood next to me at the end of my station for 3 months. I was like 26 years old, and every day I would go to work feeling like I was going to throw up, you know? At one point that terror switched to throw up terror to, okay, I've got this terror. So I think I've always felt it. And what I do like that about the Georgia O'Keeffe thing, because it's like, how do you channel it? It's there and it can be foreboding, but how do you turn it around? So, I think everyone has it. Even those people that say that they're 100% know what they want to do all the time, they're not telling you the truth.
Right. Yeah, I believe that. So what does smart aging mean to you then?
That's funny. Emily started using that a lot right from the beginning. What do you think, Em?
I think it's a very personal thing. I think smart aging isn't just, it is maybe about being able to stick up and do the crossword puzzles and keeping those going. I do the daily mini crossword puzzle in the New York Times every day. But it's also just being, I think, true to yourself. It's being true to yourself, staying on top of things, of all the things that you want to do so you live the most meaningful life that you want to lead. And that can be so many different things.
I love that. Now I'm going to just ask you both. You said that life is about waking up and saying, okay, what's next? So what's next for each of you?
Abby, you tell your exciting what's next.
You know, my what next, I'm kind of fumbling because when I say what next, it's more to me a process than an end result. I think, you know, throughout my career and my life, it's like you have to do desserts and you want to make the best apple pie. You want to make the best, apple Charlotte or whatever it is you're making. But I started making chocolate at home from cacao beans. And when I first started doing it, I said, okay, now I'm going to make my chocolate recipe. And then I quickly learned that every time you make it, it's going to be different. It's like wine, how the grapes were grown, how the cacao beans were grown. And you can control certain aspects of it, but it's not going to be the same every single time. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be good, but it's just not going to be the same. And so as a result of that, I've really learned to just enjoy the process of this and has learned as much as I can about it, about the reverent cacao bean and how complicated it is, about chocolate making. And I would say my younger self would have said, well, what's your end goal? What's your end goal? And my older what's next self is like, I don't know. I'm just going to enjoy it every day and see what happens.
What about you, Erin?
I am, you know, I'm always trying to, I've always got a billion ideas, it seems, for writing the next book, a few of them which work out. And I've got a couple of things sort of on tap now. I recently did something that was way out of my comfort zone, which was I went up in Provincetown on the Cape. There are these shacks in the dunes that are now owned by the National Seashore, and they have maybe a little wood stove, but an outhouse, but and no heat. I mean, except for the wood stove, there's no heating system, and there's no electricity, and so there's. I put myself in a lottery, and I won a week there in early April. And I am somebody that thinks that God invented hotels so you wouldn't have to go camping. So it was completely outside of my comfort zone, but I wanted to go there and write for a week. And then when I was working on a proposal already for a book about change and transition, which is what I've been going through since about, you know, moving from New York, which I had a really hard time doing, back to my home, small hometown, which is a place that doesn't even have a stoplight. But then when I decided, so I worked on that while I was in Provincetown, and also decided to spend the week writing about what solitude is like. And I hope to make something of that piece as well. So it was exciting.
Well, I think we're going to leave it there. Thank you both so much. I'm so glad you were on Keep It Juicy.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Love listening to your show.
If you want to find out how to get Emily and Erin's book, So Who's Counting, the little quote book about growing older and still kicking ass, well, check out the Juicy Resources page on our website, keepitjuicy.com. On the next episode, I'm processing all the feels, good and bad, after my daughter and her bridesmaids brought their bachelorette road trip to my own town of Charleston, South Carolina. You can keep up with us on Facebook or Twitter at KeepItJuicy.com or go to my website and sign up for the newsletter. And it really helps if you leave a review. Meanwhile, go out there and keep it juicy.